Al Araf by Edgar Allan Poe, Part 1. Oh, nothing earthly save the ray, throwing back from flowers of beauty's eye, as in those gardens where the day springs from the gems of Circassi. Oh, nothing earthly save the thrill of melody in woodland rill, or music of the passion-haunted, joy's voice so peacefully departed, that like the murmur in the shell, its echo dwelleth and will dwell. Oh, nothing of the dross of hours, yet all the beauty, all the flowers, that list our love and deck our bowers, adorn yon world afar, afar the wandering star. 'Twas a sweet time for Nisachi, for there her world lay lolling on the golden air, near four bright suns, a temporary rest, an oasis in desert of the blest. Away, away mid seas of rays that roll empyrean splendor o'er the unchained soul, the soul that scarce, the billows are so dense, can struggle to its destined eminence. To distant spheres from time to time she rode, and late to hours the favored one of God, but now the ruler of an anchored realm, she throws aside the scepters, leaves the helm, and amid incense and high spiritual hymns, laves in quadruple light her angel limbs. Now happiest, loveliest in yon lovely earth, whence sprang the idea of beauty into birth, falling in wreaths through many a startled star like woman's hair mid pearls, until, afar, it lit on hills Achaean, and there dwelt. She looked into infinity and knelt. Rich clouds for canopies about her curled, fit emblems of the model of her world, seen but in beauty, not impeding sight, of other beauty glittering through the light, a wreath that twined each starry form around, and all the opaled air in colour bound, all hurriedly she knelt upon a bed of flowers, of lilies such as reared the head on the fair Capo Deucato, and sprang so eagerly around about to hang upon the flying footsteps of deep pride of her who loved a mortal and so died. The cephalica, budding with young bees, upreared its purple stem around her knees, and gemmy flower of Trebizond misnamed, inmate of highest stars, where erst it shamed all other loveliness. Its honeyed dew, the fabled nectar that the heathen knew, deliriously sweet, was dropped from heaven, and fell on gardens of the unforgiven in Trebizond, and on a sunny flower, so like its own above that to this hour. It still remaineth, torturing the bee with madness and unwonted reverie. In heaven and all its environs the leaf and blossom of the fairy plant, in grief disconsolate linger, grief that hangs her head, repenting follies that full long have fled, heaving her white breast to the balmy air, like guilty beauty, chastened and more fair. Nyctanthes, too, as sacred as the light, she fears to perfume, perfuming the night. And Clytia, pondering between many a sun, while pettish tears adown her petals run, and that aspiring flower that sprang on earth and died ere scarce exalted into birth, bursting its odorous heart in spirit to wing its way to heaven from a garden of a king, and Valisnerian lotus thither flown from struggling with the waters of the Rhone. And thy most lovely purple perfume, Zante, is solo de oro, fior de levante, and the Nelumbo bud that floats forever with Indian Cupid down the holy river, fair flowers and fairy, to whose care is given to bear the goddess's song and odors up to heaven. Spirit, that dwellest where in the deep sky the terrible and fair in beauty vie, beyond the line of blue, the boundary of the star which turneth at the view of thy barrier and thy bar, of the barrier overgone by the comets who are cast from their pride and from their throne, to be drudges till the last, to be carriers of fire, the red fire of their heart with speed that may not tire, and with pain that shall not part. Who livest, that we know, in eternity we feel, but the shadow of whose brow what spirit shall reveal? Though the beings whom thy Nisachi, thy messenger, hath known, have dreamed for thy infinity a model of their own, thy will is done, O God. The star hath ridden high through many a tempest, but she rode beneath thy burning eye, and here in thought to thee, in thought that can alone ascend thy empire and so be a partner of thy throne by winged fantasy, my embassy is given, till secrecy shall knowledge be in the environs of heaven. She ceased and buried then her burning cheek, abashed amid the lilies there to seek a shelter from the fervor of his eye, for the stars trembled at the deity. She stirred not, breathed not, for a voice was there, how solemnly pervading the calm air. a sound of silence on the startled ear, which dreamy poets name the music of the sphere. Ours is a world of words. Quiet, we call silence, which is the merest word of all. All nature speaks, and even ideal things flap shadowy sounds from the visionary wings. But ah, not so when, thus, in realms on high, the eternal voice of God is passing by, and the red winds are withering in the sky. What though in worlds which sightless cycles run, linked to a little system and one sun, where all my love is folly, and the crowd still think my terrors but the thundercloud, the storm, the earthquake, and the ocean wrath. Ah, will they cross me in my angrier path? What though in worlds which own a single sun, the sands of time grow dimmer as they run, yet thine is my resplendency so given to bear thy secrets through the upper heaven? Leave tenantless thy crystal home and fly with all thy train athwart the moony sky. Apart, like fireflies in Sicilian night, and wing to other worlds another light. Divulge the secrets of thy embassy to the proud orbs that twinkle, and so be to every heart a barrier and a ban, lest the stars totter in the guilt of man. Uprose the maiden in the yellow night. The single-mooned eve on earth we plight our faith to one love, and one moon adore the birthplace of young beauty, had no more. As sprang that yellow star from downy hours, up rose the maiden from her shrine of flowers, and bent o'er sheeny mountain and dim plain, her way, but left not yet her Therisaean reign. Part 2. High on a mountain of enameled head, such as the drowsy shepherd on his bed of giant pasturage, lying at his ease, raising his heavy eyelid, starts and sees, with many a muttered hope to be forgiven, what time the moon is quadrated in heaven, of rosy head that towering far away into the sunlit ether caught the ray of sunken suns at eve, at noon of night, while the moon danced with the fair stranger light. Upreared upon such height arose a pile of gorgeous columns on the unburthened air, flashing from Parian marble the twin smile far down upon the wave that sparkled there, and nursled the young mountain in its lair of molten stars, their pavement, such as fall through the ebon air, besilvering the pall of their own dissolution while they die, adorning then the dwellings of the sky. A dome, by linked light from heaven let down, sat gently on these columns as a crown. A window of one circular diamond there looked out upon into the purple air, and rays from God shot down that meteor chain, and hallowed all the beauty twice again, save when, between the empyrean and that ring, some eager spirit flapped his dusky wing. But on the pillar's seraph eyes have seen the dimness of this world, that grayish green, that nature loves the best, for beauty's grave lurked in each cornice round each architrave, and every sculptured cherub thereabout, that from his marble dwelling peered out, seemed earthly in the shadows of his niche. Achaean statues in a world so rich, friezes from Tadmor and Persepolis, from Baalbek and the stilly clear abyss of beautiful Gomorrah. Oh, the wave is now upon thee, but too late to save. Sound loves to revel in a summer night. Witness the murmur of the great twilight that stole upon the ear in Iraco. Of many a wild stargazer long ago that stealeth ever on the ear of him who, musing, gazeth on the distant dim and sees the darkness coming as a cloud, is not its form, its voice, most palpable and loud? But what is this? It cometh, and it brings a music with it. 'Tis the rush of wings, a pause, and then a sweeping, falling strain, and Nisachi is in her halls again. In the wild energy of wanton haste, her cheeks were flushing and her lips apart. The zone that clung around her gentle waist had burst beneath the heaving of her heart. Within the center of that hall to breathe, she paused and panted. Xanthe. All beneath, the fairy light that kissed her golden hair and longed to rest, yet could but sparkle there. Young flowers were whispering in melody to happy flowers that night, and tree to tree. Fountains were gushing music as they fell in many a starlit grove or moonlight dell. Yet silence came upon material things, fair flowers, bright waterfalls and angel wings, and sound alone that from the spirit sprang bore birth into the charm the maiden sang. Neath bluebell or streamer or tufted wild spray that keeps from the dreamer the moonbeam away. Bright beings that ponder with half-closing eyes on the stars which your wonder hath drawn from the skies, till they glance through the shade and come down to your brow like eyes of the maiden who calls on you now. Arise from your dreaming in violet bowers, to duty beseeming these starlitten hours, and shake from your tresses, encumbered with dew, the breath of those kisses that cumber them too. Oh, how, without you, love, could angels be blessed, those kisses of true love that lulled ye to rest. Up, shake from your wing each hindering thing. The dew of the night, it would weigh down your flight. And true love caresses, oh, leave them apart. They are light on the tresses, but lead on the heart. Ligeia, Ligeia, my beautiful one, whose harshest idea will to melody run, oh, is it thy will on the breezes to toss? Or capriciously still, like the lone albatross, incumbent on night as she on the air, to keep watch with delight on the harmony there? Ligeia, wherever thy image may be, no magic shall sever thy music from thee. Thou hast bound many eyes in a dreamy sleep, but the strains still arise which thy vigilance keep, the sound of the rain which leaps down to the flower and dances again in the rhythm of the shower, the murmur that springs from the growing of grass, or the music of things, but are mottled, alas, away then, my dearest, oh, hie thee away, to spring that lie clearest beneath the moon ray, to lone lake that smiles in its dream of deep rest, at the many star isles that enjewel its breast, where wild flowers, creeping, have mingled their shade, on its margins is sleeping full many a maid. Some have left the cool glade, and have slept with the bee. Arouse them, my maiden, on moorland and lea. Go, breathe on thy slumber, all softly and ere the musical number they slumber to hear. For what can awaken an angel so soon, whose sleep hath been taken beneath the cold moon, as the spell which no slumber of witchery may test, the rhythmical number which lulled him to rest? Spirits in wing and angels to the view, a thousand seraphs burst the empyrean through, young dreams still hovering on their drowsy flight, seraphs in all but knowledge, the keen light that fell refracted through thy bounds afar, O death! From eye of God upon that star, sweet was that error, sweeter still that death, sweet was that error, even with us the breath of science dims the mirror of our joy, to them t'were the simoon, and would destroy, for what to them availeth it to know that truth is falsehood, or that bliss is woe? Sweet was their death, with them to die was rife, with the last ecstasy of satiate life. Beyond that death, no immortality, but sleep that pondereth and is not to be. And there, oh, may my weary spirit dwell apart from heaven's eternity, and yet how far from hell? What guilty spirit in what shrubbery dim heard not the stirring summons of that hymn? But two, they fell, for heaven no grace imparts to those who hear not for their beating hearts. A maiden angel and her seraph lover, oh, where, and ye may seek the wide skies over, was love the blind near sober duty known? Unguided love hath fallen mid tears of perfect moan. He was a worldly spirit, he who fell, a wanderer by mossy mantled well, a gazer on the lights that shine above, a dreamer in the moonbeam by his love. What wonder! For each star is eye-like there, and looks so sweetly down on beauty's hair, and they, and every mossy spring were holy to his love-haunted heart and melancholy. The night had found, to him a night of woe, upon a mountain crag, young Angelo. Beetling it bends athwart the solemn sky, and scowls on starry worlds that down beneath it lie. Here sate he with his love, his dark eye bent, with eagle gaze along the firmament, now turned it upon her, but ever then it trembled to the orb of earth again. Aeanthe, dearest, see, how dim that ray, how lovely 'tis to look so far away. She seemed not thus upon that autumn eve I left her gorgeous halls, nor mourned to leave. That eve I should remember well. The sunray dropped in Lemnos with a spell on the arabesque carving of a gilded hall, wherein I sate, and on the draperied wall, and on my eyelids, oh, the heaviest light! How drowsily it weighed them into night! On flowers, before, and mist, and love, they ran, with Persian Sardi in his gala stand, but, oh, that light I slumbered, death the while, stole o'er my senses in that lovely isle, so softly that no single silken hair awoke that slept or knew that he was there. The last spot of earth's orb I trod upon was a proud temple called the Parthenon. More beauty clung round her columned wall than even thy glowing bosom beats withal. And when old time my wing did disenthrall, then sprang I, as the eagle from his tower, and years I left behind me in an hour. What time upon her airy bounds I hung! One half the garden of her globe was flung, unrolling as a chart unto my view, tenantless cities of the desert too. Ianthe, beauty, crowded on me then, and half I wished to be again of men. My Angelo, and why of them to be, a brighter dwelling place is here for thee, and greener fields than in yon world above, and woman's loveliness, and passionate love. But list, Ianthe, when the air so soft failed as my penant spirit leapt aloft. Perhaps my brain grew dizzy, but the world I left so late was into chaos hurled, sprang from her station on the winds apart, and rolled aflame the fiery heaven athwart. Methought, my sweet one, then I ceased to soar, and fell, not swiftly as I rose before, but with a downward tremulous motion through, light brazen rays this golden star unto. Nor long the measure of my falling hours, for nearest of all stars was thine to ours. Dread star that came amid a night of mirth, a red Daedalian on the timid earth. We came, and to thy earth, but not to us, be given Our Lady's bidding to discuss. We came, my love, around, above, below, gay firefly of the night, we come and go, nor ask a reason save the angel nod she grants to us as granted by her God. But, Angelo, than thine grey time unfurled, never his fairy wing or fairer world. Dim was its little disk, and angel eyes alone could see the phantom in the skies, when first Al Araf knew her course to be headlong thitherward o'er the starry sea. But when its glory swelled upon the sky, as glowing beauties bust beneath man's eye, we paused before the heritage of men, and thy star trembled as doth beauty then. Thus, in discourse, the lovers whiled away the night that waned and waned and brought no day. They fell, for heaven to them no hope imparts, who hear not for the beating of their hearts. The End of Al Araf by Edgar Allan Poe. First published in 1839 and read by Rick Kistner for Litigo on the web at fcit.usf.edu.